Okay. This is my podcast. My name's Harlan, and this is Visual Learner. Welcome. Haven't done a podcast in a while, and the last time I did it with friends. So we'll see how it is talking to an audience that can't react to anything I'm saying. I wanted to start doing this as like a sort of filler. Filler. That makes it sound like it's just junk. There's not going to be anything fun here that I'm talking about. I wanted to do this to subsidize my YouTube channel to have some extra content when I can't get a video out on time, either because I don't have any ideas or because I've decided to talk about something that I don't know enough about and have to do a bunch of research, basically. So this podcast is going to be, you know, come out between videos. It looks like I'm in a nightgown. If you're watching this and not just listening, you should go watch it on YouTube. But I just noticed in the camera that I've got a lot of chest hair showing. You're getting a show if you come over to YouTube. Anyway, yeah, I thought there that I would do this because a lot of the time there's stuff that I see that I have thoughts and opinions about, but it's not enough. There's not enough there to do an entire video on. And so I thought this would be a good opportunity to do that, to look at a couple of things that have happened in the last week that probably only like 5 to 10 minutes of content for me to talk about. I also set up a podcast submission virtual podcast submission box for you guys to go and submit questions or ask advice or just share maybe some stuff that happened, like news stuff that happened that you'd like me to take a look at and see if there's anything there for me to talk about. If you go to my YouTube channel in the About section, there will be a separate, another link for a Google form that you can go fill out. Put anything in there, anything you want, and I will look at some of it. I've gotten a couple of submissions, so what we're going to do today is I'm going to look at a couple of things. I took some notes that I want to just briefly touch on, and then at the end I might go through one or two of these submissions from you guys. So I guess we just get into it. You know, it's, let's see, April 27th. Last week, there was quite a lot of stuff that happened. I mean, every week there's something crazy that's happening. it never ends. A lot of it bad. And a lot of it has to do with, obviously, politics and politicians. One of those people is J.D. Vance, and he's just at the absolute worst. He, there was people, alleging that he killed the Pope because he met him. And then I think the next day the Pope died. But a few days before that, he broke some football trophy or something. I mean, there couldn't be a better, I mean, it's bad that the Pope died, right? Like, he seemed like a pretty decent Pope of all the popes that we've had. So it really just makes J.D. Vance and this administration feel like actual harbingers of death and pestilence, spreading death and destruction wherever they go. But while that was happening, there was also the release of Oblivion. The remaster of Oblivion, and one of the first things I saw was the people were making the J.D. Vance like toddler with the fat face in the character creator. If you're watching on YouTube, I'll probably have it up. Let me see if I can find it really quick, just so I can look at it while I'm talking about it. J.D. Vance Oblivion remaster, yeah. That photo of J.D. Vance where, he's got like the curly hair Somebody remade that in Oblivion because they've really outdone themselves with this character creator. I know it was always kind of silly, and the character creator has never been really all that great, but man, they really pulled out all the stops to really fuck up these characters in in Oblivion. Like, all these, I keep seeing people making their own horrific creations, and they all look like Dick Tracy villains, like from the Dick Tracy movie. Do you guys remember, or have you seen that, the Dick Tracy villains movie? Yeah, just an insane amount of prosthetics. Oh, Madonna's in this? I didn't know Madonna was in this. I mean, she, the way she looks now, she could easily be a Dick Tracy villain. Too soon? Is that rude to say? But then it also, so yeah, J.D. Vance maybe killed the Pope, allegedly. And it reminded me of how this isn't the first time a politician has met a, you know, I guess historical figure. Because Liz Truss, if anybody remembers Liz Truss, she was the, I think, shortest serving prime minister. And she met the Queen, and then the Queen died. So, listen, I'm not saying that there's a connection, just a correlation perhaps, of right-wing lunatics allegedly murdering very important historical figures. I mean, the Queen, questionable. That whole family is not good to begin with. But I just wonder who the next one is. You know what I mean? Like, is Bukele, the president of El Salvador, going to meet the Dalai Lama and then the Dalai Lama is going to die? Right? There's a trend, is all I'm saying. So that's what's going on in the politics. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, I don't know what our obsession with having hypothetical scenarios of, like, especially men thinking that they can, like, fight certain animals, because there's a thing going around. I don't know if anybody remembers from a few months ago, the, like, this is kind of similar, the you know, where women were saying they'd rather be left alone in the woods with a bear versus a strange man, and that turned into a whole thing. And you see it all the time, like the memes where guys are like, I could totally fist fight a bear. or like, I just saw a statistic the other morning, or I don't know if it was an actual statistic, but like another one of those memes that was saying like 60% of men think they could land an aircraft without any training. And like, guys, you can't do any of this stuff. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what guy out there thinks he can legitimately fight a grizzly bear with his bare hands or fly an airplane without any training. Like, just because you saw a movie on how to, just because you saw, what was the Denzel Washington movie? You know, just because you saw Air Force One starring Harrison Ford doesn't mean you're going to be able to land an airplane, pal. So my point is that there's another one of these hypothetical thought experiments going around. And I don't know where it started, but there have been several TikToks and like tweets talking about how like who would win, 100 men or one silverback gorilla? And, you know, listen, 100 men is a lot. And I feel like, depending on the mood that everyone's in, 100 men could probably take down a gorilla. There'd probably only be 10 men left. But this is a new debate, apparently, that the internet can't stop. They can't let it just rest and be a funny thing. Everybody has a hot take on this. And, you know, initially I was thinking, I don't think 100 men could, I think a gorilla would just absolutely plow through 100 men. They're enormous. They're fucking huge. But then I saw this video. Let me see if I can pull it up. Gorilla versus two geese. So there's a video. Oh, jeez. There's a video of a gorilla, and he's just doing his thing, and there's two geese, and they're staring him down, and then the geese come at him, unprovoked, by the way, and scare the shit out of this gorilla. The gorilla is shitting his pants and pissing himself as these geese fly at him. Well, not fly at him, but run at him really fast. And when I saw that, I was like, damn, gorillas, I don't know, man. If 100 men approached a gorilla and this is what they're normally like, if this is how they react to geese, I think 100 men would scare the shit out of this gorilla. I don't think the gorilla's got a leg to stand on, or yeah. So, I mean, to be fair, geese are terrifying. I would run away from geese too. So, thing is, I don't think it's hard to say, because I heard a statistic that gorillas, there's never been one instance of a gorilla attacking or killing a human being. And so now I'm like, man, maybe you only need 50 men to take on a gorilla. You know what I mean? If, because I guess they're gentle giants. I'm not sure. They look really scary. They have a lot of potential, which, you know, when a gorilla looks like a gorilla and they just chill all the time, what a waste. You know what I mean? They got all those muscles. They're like 600 pounds. And all they do is they're like workout bros that are like hippies or something. It's weird. Why does it look like that if it's not going to use all that stored kinetic energy in its muscles? That being said, if it was 100 men versus one chimpanzee, I don't know, man. Chimpanzees are horrific. They're a nightmare because they'll rip your face off and your genitals. It's a different vibe. It's a different mood. But I just don't understand. I mean, I guess if you know anything about gorillas, this thought experiment is a little bit more plausible, right? And like, are the 100 men, are they like on meth, you know? Is the gorilla in fight mode when it goes into fight or flight? Because if it is, you know, we got to really narrow down what this scenario actually is. Is this gorilla in Hulk mode, and are the men fucking hopped up on some stimulants? You know what I mean? It's hard to say. We should just do it in real life. What else is going on? The other thing I saw too, I don't know if anybody's seen this Slate car or truck, the Slate auto truck. I've been getting a lot of ads for it on TikTok. Not really ads, but, you know, people promoting it and talking about it. And the thing looks kind of cool, but I also learned that it's a company that's backed by Jeff Bezos. Wah, wah. Oh, I should have sound effects in my soundboard. I don't know what's in any of these, actually. Let's see what happens when I push one of them randomly. Oh, I can't hear it. What? What sound effect was that? Oh, maybe I don't have sound effects plugged in. All right, well, I'll add something really embarrassing in post. But this Slate truck, it's a Bezos-backed Slate Auto unveils affordable EV truck. And I don't know why or where this thing came from. And it's really weird. All of a sudden, it was video after video of people talking about this $20,000 truck. Oh, so why I wanted to talk about it is because it seems like in all of the promotional things that, like, you know, creators are talking about, they're like, this is it's so cheap. It's smaller and convenient, like just promoting it as like a next cool thing. But none of them have mentioned that it's backed by Jeff Bezos, who it's just a replacement for Tesla at the end of the day. And I'm curious how many people are getting paid to promote this thing. Because literally in the last like 2 days, I've never heard of this company before. I've never heard of this truck before. And all of a sudden, slammed with videos about the Slate truck. And like, look, it's cool. It's cool for like an electric truck, like the design of it. When you put a little hatch cover on the bed, it looks like a sort of modern like Blazer kind of thing, which like that's my shit. Those trucks are cool. But it's only got like a 250-mile range. Which if you live in Texas or even California like I do, I'm going to have to plan out exactly where I'm going to have to stop to charge this fucking thing. On 250 miles, if I need to drive to LA, good luck. I don't know. It seems kind of gimmicky. And maybe it's not for people that are driving that far. Maybe it's for like, you know, people that live in, I don't know. It's a weird thing that I'm getting all these people. Also, the caveat, it's under $20,000 after incentives. Fuck that. Just make it 20 grand. So the Slate is out. We got a new electric car manufacturer by a evil billionaire. So that's pretty cool. We can't just have an affordable electric car in the United States. Even though I think what China has, what's that Chinese company? Chinese electric car company. BYD. Theirs are like $50 or something. But we can't have them in the US because I think lobbying. Because Elon Musk has lobbied government people. God, I know exactly what I'm talking about. You should all be Googling everything I say in this. I think they've like tried to prevent them from selling them in the US, which is a real shame, because, you know, they're affordable and they're not Teslas. And whatever the fuck is going on with Rivian, I don't know anything about that company. Not that I can afford a car right now. I don't know why I even give a shit. I'm just going to have to buy a, you know, $4,000 jalopy. That's a word that people say, right? And when they're talking about shitty cars, a hoopty, buy a cheap $3,000 hoopty on Craigslist. That's kind of where my budget is right now. Anyway, this car, everything's run by billionaires, and it's upsetting. Can't have anything nice that's not been tainted by one of these assholes. Anyway, I also wanted to talk about, what else do I have on this list? What is this? What is this that I saved? Oh, dude, right. The new Predator movie, everybody. The trailer for the new Predator movie came out. What is going on with movies? I don't know that anybody anymore likes movies or TV shows. The amount people complain and bitch, moan, and complain about movies. Holy shit. Theaters should just shutter them. Just close them all down. We did movies. It didn't work out. Nobody actually likes them because everybody's got a shitty, stupid fucking opinion. The new Predator trailer came out, and people are racist pieces of shit and don't understand what the movie is about. And so people calling this like Predator design woke, because everything is fucking woke, dude. If anything even remotely resembles a black person, it's woke and it's fucking lame. Just be racist. Just be racist outright. So we all know. It's the same thing with like calling everything DEI. You just really want to say the N-word, don't you? So this trailer came out, and the Predator, one of the Predators that's featured, listen, I'm not super into this design. The first Predator is like one of my all-time favorite movies. The Predator in that looks like an alien. It's got the big giant head, and obviously, you know, the mandibles, and it looks wild, dude. This new design looks very humanoid, which I think is where some of this shit is, this woke shit is coming from, is it's just because the Predator looks kind of more humanoid. Like, I even saw somebody be like, oh, looks like they're wearing a tank top and they've got titties. And it's like, who gives a shit if it's a woman, a female Predator? Like, what? You're getting a new Predator, dude. After the last Predator movie, you should be thankful you got anything at all. So, people are saying that this new Predator design is woke because it looks like a black person. And that's an insane thing to say, because it's an alien with no nose and fangs and a mandible and scales and shit. Which is like even... the whole thing is so stupid. But I think, this is my theory, and it was kind of confirmed when I saw this meme that I'm sure is on the screen right now, of comparing the original Predator with this new one, and then what idiots are kind of seeing when they look at this. And it's the old Predator and the new Predator, and it says what fans see. And then under that, it's a picture of a white Viking and a black guy with dreads, but with the skin fade on the side. So it's like the Mohawk dreads like pulled back. And that's the kind of, I don't think it's hair on the Predators either. It's like tentacles that come out of their head. But the way that the head tentacles, are styled are that same thing. There's none on the side. They're just on the center of the head, which this is like a lazy fucking thing that designers, especially for video games, like to do with their black characters, is give them all this kind of fucking haircut. I'm so tired of seeing this haircut. And I think it's almost kind of a joke in like, I don't know if it's in like the D&D world or in just like character design, when people don't know how to draw black hair, they just give them the dreadlock mohawk situation. And it's like almost a joke in and of itself, that because I'm sure a lot of the designers are white people, they just give all the black characters the same haircut. So I think what people are seeing, they're connecting those two things. They're connecting that black hairstyle with the way the tentacles look on the Predator. And because it's like a little bit darker skin tone, they're like, that's a black guy. That's a black, it's a black alien, dude. And it's just like, I don't really like the design either, but not for those reasons. It's just people are so fucking stupid. They're so dumb. Find something. Get a life. There's so many other more important things to complain about than the look of a made-up alien race in a Predator movie. You guys are dumb. You're so stupid. Ugh. Jesus Christ. Also, the actor from the 87 Predator suit was a black guy. What are we even talking about? Nobody's mad at the original Predator movie for having a diverse cast of mercenaries. They have more of a problem with a fictional alien than they do about an Austrian, a Native American, a black guy, and I don't know if... and then there was the Central American or South American woman. Nobody's got a problem with that. You guys still fucking love the original Predator. No problem with, you know, the probably racist kind of stereotypes that are included in that one. Or the fact that he's even in there, and they're actually probably fine with the racist stereotypes because they're racist. It's just so stupid. Everybody's an idiot. This podcast is going to be a lot of me complaining about racists and idiots. Who the fuck ever thought the Predator was white? Yeah, that's the other thing, too. What are you mad about? It's a fucking alien with green blood. So stupid. So, movies are over. I don't think... we should go see movies anymore. Movies are bad. They're broken. Audiences have no media literacy. Even beyond like the woke, the woke accusations of an alien, the fucking chicken jockey shit, the Minecraft people, I don't know, going in and kidnapping AMC concessions employees and whatever the fuck they're doing, beating, waterboarding them. It's insane. Stop doing that. Movies are... There's a part of me that just... I think I hate movies now. Anybody else? The theater-going experience is broken forever, and I don't know how we ever get back to it. You have to shut down every streaming service ever. Because it's the only way that anybody's going to give a shit about theaters anymore. I don't know, man. It's a nightmare out there. It's a nightmare, not just in the theater, but just out in the world itself. I mean, I don't want this to be like, me talking a lot about politics, even though it's like nearly impossible not to. But we live in a fascist police state. There's no questioning that at this point. What do you do? You know, you kind of got to go see movies and participate in stuff that, I don't know, make you a little happier. Because we all need to escape occasionally from this never-ending just shit show, man. I don't know. I don't want to get too bogged down in some of that stuff on here. Even though a lot of the questions that were sent were, like, asking me about political type things, and, like, I'm not the person to ask about certain political things. Like, somebody asked about like the 4B movement. I don't know, man. I am not the person to be looking to for sources of information. I barely have time to research videos when I make them. I got a lot on my plate. So looking into what's going on with every movement, or somebody else asked how do you deprogram somebody from the manosphere. I don't know. Don't know, guys. I don't know. That's not my area of expertise. Although I guess we can get into some of these questions that some people asked. Let's see. One person, one of these. Also, you can send funny stuff. It doesn't have to all be serious stuff. There's quite a few serious questions in here. One of the funnier, well, it's not really funny, but there's no context at all for this. Submitted a question and said, oh, oops, I need to bleep that out. They wanted to remain anonymous. Never mind. Somebody submitted a question that says, should I warn my ex's mom that he's a zoophile? I'm not even sure I know what a zoophile is. Let me just should I Google that? It seems like it's probably a sex thing. A person who is sexually attracted to animals. Great. Zoophilia is a paraphilia in which a person experiences sexual fixation on non-human animals. Bestiality instead refers to cross-species sexual activity between humans and non-human animals. So one is a sexual fixation and one is actually fucking going for it. Am I understanding this right? Should I warn my ex's mom that he's a zoophile? Oh, brother. If I had more context, is it just zoophilia? Or have we dipped a toe? How do you know he's a zoophile? I assume it's your ex, so they talk to you about this? I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I think that if you're in a relationship with somebody and it gets to a point where you have to talk about your fetishes and your kinks and things. There's nothing wrong with that. You should be looking at it with some open-mindedness, right? You don't want to be like, ew, you like feet? This is not a foot fetish, though. Like, a foot fetish is one thing. Zoophilia, I don't know enough about it. I don't know. And then, like, outing them to their parents. How old are they? Is this something that, like, are they, I don't know, in, like, their 30s or in their 20s? Or are you guys, like, 17 or 18? You know, because when you're that young, there's a lot of things that you're experimenting with and a lot of emotions that maybe you're not defining properly, that you don't have the words for. Like, is it actually that? I don't know. Probably not, as long as it hasn't, veered into criminality. I think keep that one to yourself. How close are you with their mom? How close are you still with the ex? I don't know. I think that's, I don't see the need to get into that. So anonymous, thank you for sending that in. Let's see. Somebody wants to know about my hair care routine. Oh, I just got it cut. I almost buzzed it last week. And then I walked myself off of that cliff because I was just so over it and into whatever is going on here. For the listener, I think it's kind of a normal guy haircut, but my hair I've got like 10 different cowlicks, so it doesn't like to do what I want it to do. And maybe once every 28 days, I will have what I think is a good hair day. Today is not one of those days. It's weird. I don't know. It might look better on camera than what it looks like. Oh my God, excuse me. That was disgusting. Than what it looks like in my little viewfinder. I don't know. Hair care routine, though, in general, I don't wash it because it strips my hair too much and then it gets poofy. But I, warm water in a shower every night. I brush it. I comb it out. Now that it's this short, I put some product in it. Does anybody give a shit about what I'm saying right now? I'm going to move on. That was from Cave Johnson. Thank you, Cave. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I'm very sorry if I'm not. Let's see. What's another one? Let's just go through some of these really quickly, yeah? Because a lot of these were from like almost 11 days ago. Somebody says, this is Chris. Positive masculinity. I am a dad with a very young son. Well, I don't know how I'm going to be able to help you. I have no sons and do not plan to have any. I am a dad with a very young son, and I worry about the screwed up view that a lot of young men associate with masculinity. True. I feel that. Given your content and leftist view, it would be good and encouraging to hear your thoughts. Would even be willing to discuss, live with you. Listen, I don't know that a childless man is the best person to ask about how to talk about this with a son or any, you know, offspring, any brood, any of your brood. I worry about the screwed up view that a lot of young men associate with masculinity. Given your content, there's so much to this, right? Like, so much of it is, I mean, you know, your kids look up to their parents, whether they say it or not. You know, 20 years down the line, and this is as a former child, I looked up to my dad all the time, and I didn't realize that's what I was doing. He wasn't even around all the time, but as I got older, I realized, like, oh yeah, a lot of my decisions were based around my perception of my dad and my mom too. I mean, listen, I think one of the biggest problems right now is, I don't know if this is controversial or a hot take, is access. I think young men have access to way too much fucking information that they don't know how to process, you know, from porn to these fucking manosphere lunatics who are just using them at a time when, you know, I don't know how young your son is. Is that 15, 16 or something? You know, they don't have time to form their own opinions or ideas, or they're in a place where they're not listening to you as a parent, because they're in that active rebellious stage in every, especially young man's life, where they're like, fuck you, dad. it's not a phase. And so, you know, you're rebellious. You haven't developed your frontal lobe. You don't understand you don't have any media literacy or critical thinking skills. And you're full of hormones that are telling you to put your dick in everything. And, you know, with internet, everything is computer. And with the internet, it's just like you have all these men who are just taking advantage of young men, who are telling them the validating thing, the easy thing, that you deserve this or you deserve that, or you're better than this, or you're better than that. And a lot of the time it's obviously misogyny, and it's the patriarchy, and it's talking about money is the thing that's important. It's very capitalist driven. And I don't remember when I was a kid ever feeling those things. Like, there were no fucking manosphere. I had Tony Robbins, right? He's problematic for sure, but he wasn't talking about women as if they were objects. As far as I remember, his was like general motivational shit, and for everybody, right? Now we have like these motivational speakers that are solely specifically for young men to warp their minds into getting them to sign up for some fucking course and milk them of all their parents' money, let's be honest. And tell them that, like, fucking women owe you sex, actually, dude. And that's just not the case. I never had any of that stuff. So I don't know. I mean, you would have to honestly ask somebody that's younger than me who has experienced it, and either it never affected them, or they sort of you know, deprogrammed from it or whatever the fuck. I grew up skateboarding and, you know, I was in the punk scene, which was a really positive influence on me. Because a lot of the ideology in like actual punk scene is you don't do that. You don't mistreat women. It's very community oriented. So I had a lot of that stuff when I was a kid. I mean, I guess if I were going to give any advice, try and find out what your kids, I don't know, are into and see if there's a community that they can be a part of, right? You have to facilitate that as a parent to make sure that they're getting that sense of community and that sense of, you know, the importance of diverse voices and things. I mean, you gotta start them young, man. But I don't know, you gotta listen to them aside from just waiting for the bad thing to happen. You have to actively participate in their lives. That was a thing I never had. I got really lucky that I ended up falling into a community of people that were very accommodating and understanding, because I was a latchkey kid. My mom worked all day and I would fuck off in the day. Luckily, by the grace of God, I ended up around a bunch of really great people. So it's not just about waiting until the bad thing happens, I think. Do we want to do another one? I have time. There's only 40 something minutes right now. So let's do a couple more of these. What is this? Making sure people on the left hold Democrats accountable and don't let their standards for left-leaning politicians slip even more following the presidency. I mean, there are no left-leaning politicians. Like, that's that's the biggest problem, I think, that's going on right now, is that all the politicians that say they're progressive are still, I mean, realistically, like, centrist. I mean, even Bernie Sanders and AOC, they've been doing these, their rallies or whatever, their fight the oligarchy rallies. And, you know, there have been a couple of rallies where people saying free Palestine and holding up Palestinian flags have been arrested or shut down. And it's like, even Bernie is not that far left. And that's only something I'm slowly coming to realize, that he is still beholden to a certain group of people that, you know, fund their campaigns. And so, yeah, letting any left standards slide among those politicians is not a problem, because they were never there to begin with. it's sad, but it's true. Democrats, I mean, look, if you're talking about the leftists that are trying to hold those Democrats accountable, there's still only so much that we can do, right? Call your representatives, make a bunch of noise in the streets or online, support people who are actually more left, like David Hogg is a perfect example, even though he's probably about to get ousted from the DNC for raising millions of dollars to primary a bunch of do-nothing Democrats. It's people like that that you have to help, you know, uplift their voices, even though they're in a place of, you know, authority to a certain degree. That authority only goes so far, especially when you're talking about a leftist voice that's in a place to make change. You have to you have to talk to people about those people as well. I mean, yeah, it's, but there are no left-leaning politicians. there just aren't, because they're all capitalists still. But hey, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm a big dummy. So, you know, if you want that stuff, go listen to Hassan. let's see. What's some other one? This is a really long one. I don't think I have time for that. Let's see. Do we have any fun ones? Any light ones? Take down the manosphere, please, says somebody that wants to remain anonymous. I mean, I think every episode that I do this, there will be some portion where I do that. So, yeah, you got it. Done. Done did it. Let's see. Speaking of, I guess, politics, even though I don't want to get into the weeds. There's one other one. Would you like to remain on? No, this person, Meowgen, asks, hey, Harlan, are there any books, media you would recommend for someone who wants to learn more about actual leftist theory and practice? Also, I would love to see you talking about the strange conservative pockets in alternative punk music and how popular dog whistle bands are all garbo. You've mentioned similar topics before in recent videos, so I think you'd have some funny, insightful things to say about it. Love your videos. Thank you. In terms of books and media, I just finally read Red Shirts, Reds and Black Shirts, the Michael Parenti book about A Brief History of Capitalism. What is it called? Michael Parenti. Black Shirts and Reds. I had it backwards. That was cool and informative. I recommend that. It's an easy read, too. I also have a Kropotkin book that The Conquest of Bread, because, of course, I'm a fucking leftist YouTuber. I'm a bread tuber. That's where that name comes from, The Conquest of Bread. But that's, like, it might be over my head a little bit because it talks about, I'm only a few pages into it before I put it down, if I'm being honest, man. Because I think that kind of talks more about like the economics of capitalism. And yeah, dude. But read Michael Parenti. His book, Black Shirts and Reds, was really good. Do I have any other? I feel like I had another book somewhere. I mean, listen, I'm in the process myself of educating myself on these things by actually reading more books. So again, there are other people that have much better resources and know what the fuck they're talking about than I do. Cause I'm in the process too, people. You know, I want to, if anybody else has recommendations, then I can share those with myself and with anybody that listens. Go to the submission form thing, the Google form, and submit recommendations for this person and also me, because I would like to have some more stuff too. And then, let's see, what was the other part of this question? I would like to see you talk about the strange conservative pockets in alternative punk-based music. Well, I mean, I think that one's an easy one to address here and now. I don't know that that would necessarily be, again, like a something worthy of making a whole video about. I think realistically, and this is probably not going to be a very satisfying answer, I think a lot of it comes down to aesthetics. Like straight up, punk has this hyper-masculine kind of aesthetic. It always has, especially like 2000s hardcore. Like Boston Beatdown type shit, you know, you know, conservative people or right-leaning people want to appear more masculine. That's like a huge part of that whole ideology, is appearing masculine. And punk and hardcore and, some alternative, music, I think fools a lot of those people into thinking like, oh, these guys are fucking buff and they're yelling. they must think women should stay at home and that we should be able to own people. I think it literally just boils down to aesthetics at the end of the day, because they're not, I mean, how many times do you see, you know, news articles or tweets or whatever the fuck it is about right-wing people complaining, like in the comment section when like Rage Against the Machine drops a free Palestine flag at a show and all the comments are like, oh, I miss when Rage wasn't political. And it's like, bro, you've not listened to anything that they've been saying for the last almost three decades, I think. They've always been political. These people don't listen. Like, they hear the sounds that sound angry and intimidating and they join and they co-opt a punk or hardcore aesthetic or alternative aesthetic. When what they really want, like, you get, these people don't want to listen to Rage Against the Machine or even like Green Day, like, who are honestly kind of soft in my opinion. When it comes to punk music, what they want to listen to is like Godsmack. Do you guys remember Godsmack? That's the shit they want to listen to. They don't want to actually listen to punk or hear what the ideology of punk is. They want to break shit and they want to beat women, probably. Like, I don't know, man. But I think it starts with aesthetics. I think it starts with co-opting a look. And then they get mad after 10 years. They're like, wait, huh? I've been in the punk scene. I didn't realize that's what it meant. And then they get more angry and they punch more holes in their wall. And yeah. And then that's where we're at now, honestly. So I think that answers your question. Okay, this last one. We'll do one last one because this is almost an hour now. This person also would like to remain anonymous. So this person says, how do you keep sane in this crazy ass world? Back when I was playing Cyberpunk with my buddies, I never thought I'd be living in the same hellscape. Yeah, hey, me too. I mean, I've talked about a little bit like how, I mean, if I were to ascribe my philosophy to something, it would be like an absurdist point of view. It is crazy. It is insane. But looking at how we got here and just how ludicrous, it is, I think helps me stay quote unquote sane. Because what are your other options, right? You sit and you get really sad about it. That doesn't help. Who's that help, right? You don't do anything. You wait for it to blow over. You don't act, you know, you become complacent. I don't think those are good ways to process this shit at all. And by sort of looking at the absurd nature of it and laughing, you know, I think some people might think that that's dismissive, but I don't think it is. I think you can laugh as a coping mechanism and it not be a dismissive thing. You know, I'm not laughing at the suffering of the people who are affected by this the most. I'm laughing at the morons who are inflicting the suffering, right? And so I think an absurdist kind of point of view helps kind of process that stuff. And it allows you to, you know, because absurdism is still like a relatively serious look at stuff. It's not saying don't do anything and don't act. It's saying while you are acting and while you are dealing with this stuff, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to still have some, find joy. Like, you have to find joy, especially in the worst of times. You know, I mean, I've even made videos about silly stuff and I've gotten comments from people being like, people are being disappeared and it's like, yeah, I know. I'm not the guy. You want that kind of news? You want me to bum you out? Go watch somebody else for that stuff. As much as I talk about like politics on my YouTube channel and like society and the effects of fascism and capitalism, one, I'm not smart enough to really deconstruct it, I don't believe. And two, that's not what I want to do. I want people that come and watch my videos and now listen to this podcast to I don't know, get a little bit of a laugh. I hope I'm somewhat humorous, while also talking about some of like some real shit. You can do both and you have to do both. So yes, I'm aware there are horrible things happening, but I'm not going to wallow in it when I have no control at that very moment to do anything about it. I'm going to make a silly video for everybody that uses fucking bongo feet sound effects and shit to hopefully, you know, take some pressure and offer some comfort to anybody out there that might need it. So yeah, that's how I keep sane. I also keep busy. I mean, I'm in school, I have a full-time job, I do this shit. I try and go skateboarding every once in a while. And I mean, I used to work on my motorcycle, but I don't have a place to do that anymore, which is really upsetting. But just keep busy, find hobbies. I mean, that's why I started doing YouTube videos, because I needed something else to do when I got sober. and I couldn't keep playing video games every day. But little tip for anybody that's looking to get sober, replace whatever it is with video games. Honestly, it's a great trick because it releases dopamine, and that's all that alcohol and drugs are doing. That's why you keep doing it. Just find something else to get that dopamine hit from, and I recommend video games. But yeah, just keep busy and find some way to be productive out there in the real world among all this shit. Yeah, that's what I would say. Was this good? Did people like this? I hope you did. I'm going to try and do this. It probably won't be exactly weekly. It'll probably be a pretty weird schedule because I just said I have a lot of other stuff on my plate that I'm doing. And, but I want to keep doing it. I'm still kind of getting used to talking off the cuff without a script in front of me, which is, I've conditioned myself to do that and that alone. So bear with me. I appreciate anybody that made it this far. Also, shout out to the artist, who did my artwork. He's one of the creators, or the creator. I should have asked how he wanted to be credited before doing this. Devin Clark. Devin Clark did the artwork for him. Thank you so much, Devin. It's very cool. He also made some merchandise designs for me. And you should go follow him on Instagram. I can't remember. I don't know if he's going to listen to this. Let's see. Yeah. So, creator of Ugly Americans. Okay. I did get it right. I'm so sorry, Devin. I should have looked this up beforehand, and asked you. But thanks to him for the artwork. And I think I'm just going to wrap it up. Wrap this episode up. I say until next time in my other YouTube videos. I don't have a sign off for this. Catch you on the flip side, pal. All right, bye.